Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Anatomy of Evil by Michael H. Stone, MD, is a non-fiction work of forensic psychiatry that examines extreme violence through clinical analysis rather than theology or moral philosophy alone. Stone, a psychiatrist associated with Columbia College of Physicians and Surgeons and known for his work on violent offenders, uses criminal case material to ask what people usually mean when they call an act evil. The book is organized around his gradations of evil scale, a 22-level framework that distinguishes impulsive killings, self-serving crimes, sadistic violence, and more severe patterns of cruelty. Its purpose is not to excuse offenders, but to make judgments about violence more precise by connecting behavior with personality traits, psychiatric conditions, developmental history, and neurological questions. Written for readers of psychology, true crime, criminology, and criminal justice. The book combines disturbing case studies with an argument that evil can be studied systematically without reducing it to a single cause. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 22-level gradations of evil scale as a clinical sorting tool. The most distinctive feature of Anatomy of Evil is Stone's gradations of evil scale, which attempts to classify violent wrongdoing along a continuum rather than treating all murderers or violent offenders as psychologically identical. The scale begins with situations that are not evil in a meaningful moral sense, and moves toward increasingly predatory, sadistic, and remorseless behavior. This structure matters because public reactions to infamous crimes often collapse many different motives into one emotional category. Stone tries to separate defensive acts, crimes of passion, opportunistic violence, psychopathic predation, torture, and serial sadism into more specific patterns. The scale is not presented as a mathematical instrument that can remove judgment from criminal evaluation. Instead, it functions as a disciplined vocabulary for comparing degrees of intent, cruelty, planning, empathy, and pleasure and domination. Its value lies in forcing the reader to ask why one act feels more morally extreme than another. By ranking behaviors, Stone also exposes the limits of a simple legal distinction between guilty and not guilty. The book suggests that moral seriousness depends not only on outcome, such as death, but also on the offender's motives, emotional state, and relationship to suffering. Secondly, narcissism, aggression, and the personality roots of cruelty, Stone gives sustained attention to personality traits that can make violence more likely or more severe, especially narcissism, aggression, lack of empathy, and manipulativeness. His argument is not that a single trait automatically produces evil, but that certain constellations of traits can lower the barriers against harming others. Narcissism becomes dangerous when the self is treated as more real or more valuable than other people, making humiliation, rejection, or frustration feel intolerable. Aggression becomes more morally alarming when it is not merely reactive but instrumental, used to control, punish, exploit, or gratify. In this framework, evil is not just a synonym for mental illness. Many offenders may understand what they are doing, plan their acts, and choose victims in ways that show calculation rather than confusion. Stone's psychiatric perspective helps distinguish personality disorder, psychopathy, sadism, and ordinary anger without blending them into a single explanation. This is important because it resists two common simplifications that monstrous crimes are committed only by people who are insane, or that they are committed by people who are completely unlike the rest of humanity. The book presents cruelty as an extreme development of recognizable traits shaped by temperament, experience, and choice. Thirdly, case studies as evidence for patterns rather than entertainment. Anatomy of Evil relies heavily on case material involving violent criminals, including well-known figures from modern true crime history. The purpose of these cases is not simply to retell sensational crimes, but to identify recurring features across offenders' escalation, victim selection, fantasy, lack of remorse, humiliation, sexualized violence, revenge, or pleasure and control. Stone's method reflects the strengths and risks of forensic writing. On one hand, vivid cases make psychological categories concrete. Readers can see why a spontaneous killing differs from a prolonged pattern of predation, and why sadistic offenders require a different kind of explanation than people who kill under panic, jealousy, or fear. On the other hand, the case study approach must be read carefully because notorious offenders can distort our sense of how common certain behaviors are. Stone's book is most useful when treated as a comparative clinical map, not as a complete statistical account of violence. Its cases demonstrate that the label evil is often applied after the fact, but the underlying behaviors have specific structures. By organizing them, Stone turns true crime material into a tool for forensic reasoning rather than mere shock. Fourthly, biological, developmental, and social influences without a single cause theory. Stone examines evil behavior through multiple lines of influence, including childhood experience, family environment, psychiatric traits, possible brain abnormalities, and broader social conditions. The book's strength is that it avoids reducing extreme violence to only biology or only upbringing. A traumatic history may help explain anger, mistrust, or impaired attachment, but it does not make every harmed child violent. Brain dysfunction may affect impulse control or emotional regulation, but it does not by itself account for elaborate cruelty. Social influences, including cultural ideas about power, fame, religion, or punishment, may shape the meanings attached to violence, but they do not remove personal agency. This layered approach makes the book more persuasive than accounts that search for a single origin of evil. Stone is especially interested in how risk factors combine temperament, grievance, fantasy, opportunity, and desensitization may reinforce one another over time. The result is a developmental model in which dangerous patterns can become more entrenched if they are not recognized. This does not make prediction easy. Rather, it suggests that forensic understanding must remain probabilistic, combining clinical judgment with attention to history, behavior, and context. Lastly, implications for justice, risk assessment, and early intervention. A major implication of Anatomy of Evil is that better understanding of violent behavior could improve how society judges, confines, treats, or possibly rehabilitates offenders. Stone is interested in distinctions that matter for the justice system, who is persistently dangerous, who acted under unusual circumstances, who shows remorse, and who might be salvageable under treatment or supervision. The gradations of evil scale is relevant here because punishment based only on the legal category of a crime may miss important differences in cruelty, motivation, and future risk. Stone also raises the possibility that early signs of violent tendencies in children might be addressed before patterns harden. This claim should not be read as a promise that future offenders can be identified with certainty. The ethical stakes are high, since labeling a young person as dangerous can cause harm if done carelessly. Still, the book argues that ignoring early aggression, callousness, sadistic behavior, or severe conduct problems is also irresponsible. Its practical contribution is to encourage more precise questions: what kind of violence is this? What drives it? How stable is the pattern? And what response best protects society while preserving fair judgment? In conclusion, Anatomy of Evil is best suited to readers who want a serious but accessible account of extreme violence from the perspective of forensic psychiatry. It will interest students of psychology, criminology, criminal justice, and true crime readers who prefer analysis over sensationalism. The practical benefit of the book is its vocabulary. It helps readers distinguish impulsive violence from predatory violence, remorse from manipulation, and mental disturbance from calculated cruelty. Intellectually, it challenges the idea that evil is either a purely religious category or a meaningless emotional reaction. Stone shows that the word can be examined through behavior, motive, personality, and degree of suffering inflicted, compared with many books about serial killers or criminal profiling. Anatomy of Evil stands out because it is organized around a formal classificatory framework rather than around one investigation, one offender, or one law enforcement career. It also differs from purely philosophical treatments by grounding its discussion in clinical and criminal cases. The book can be disturbing because its evidence comes from real acts of cruelty, and some readers may find the material dense or grim. Still, its disciplined structure makes it valuable for anyone trying to understand how professionals think about moral severity, dangerousness, and the difficult boundary between explanation and excuse. If you would like to support Michael H. M.D. Stone, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.